Here we go. This is the last day of the 12 Days of Human Design series. Over the course of the last few episodes, I have taken you through a tour to meet every single member of my family. Not so that you could get to know my family, but so that you could get to understand some of the nuances in human design. Prior to today's reading, all of the charts that I gave a little bit of a go over are generator types, manifesting generators and generators. So in my family, there are 8 manifesting generators, 3 generators, and today we're focused on Colby. Colby at the time of this reading is just 4 days old, and he is a manifester. Manifestors represent just 9% of the population. So it's really a big deal, and there are some differences here that I want to unpack with you on today's episode.
Welcome to Unjaded. I'm your host, Vicki Dixon. This is a podcast with a human design spin on building the life, the relationships, and the business that you were made for. Let's dive in.
So today I'm doing this a little bit differently. I have tried to make myself notes for each and every episode because I can get kind of off track. And I mean, if you've been here a while, you understand that even with notes, I let myself get off track a little bit. But with Colby's, I just wanted to look at it with fresh eyes and see what I see. So we're going to do this together, just a high level overview of his design. Have your own chart handy or the chart of someone that you love as you're going through this episode, because I'll relate a lot of what I'm saying to human design in general so that you can use the information in your own life. That's the whole purpose of these episodes, being able to use the human design information that you're getting. So if you don't have your human design chart, you can just pop on over to the website, vickidixon.com, and download it there for free. Okay, so first things first about Colby. Colby is a manifester. The big difference between a manifester and the other types that we've talked about, so we've talked about manifesting generators and generators, the big difference with manifestors is that they do not have a defined sacral. So when you look at his chart in the show notes, you'll see that the second center from the bottom is not colored in. It's undefined. That's his sacral center. So he is what's considered a non-sacral being. If you do not have this center colored in your design, you are a non-sacral being. And remember that in human design, nothing is good or bad. It just is. Sacral energy is powerful life force and workforce energy. So every other member of our family at this time has this center defined. And remember that in your openness is where you're more prone to conditioning or most prone to conditioning. I don't ever say that people are not conditioned in their defined centers, because you've heard me talk about how conditioned we actually can be in our defined centers. However, this undefined sacral is a big place that we're going to have to watch with Colby, that we allow him to step away from the conditioning. There's not really going to be a way that he will not be conditioned, because it just happens when you're in the room with someone. So, you know, we tend to think of conditioning as something bad or something that's being done to us, but sometimes it's just something that happens. I mean, we come in with conditioning, right? There's intergenerational conditioning that happens as well. Our cells have cellular memory. So we all have conditioning that we bring with us into this life. And for Colby, he will be just naturally conditioned by the sacral energy around him. There's no way around it. It's really important, if you are not a sacral being, especially, that you sleep alone. And this is hard for babies, right? Because baby right now is not sleeping alone. He's sleeping with mama. So, but as he gets older, it may be something to look at where he really is going to need his own space. And that's because it's the only time he'll be able to get out of sacral energy. What it will do is it will allow the sacral energy to dissipate so that he can be more of himself. Because when he's taking on sacral energy, he's not completely himself. And I see this with clients all the time where, you know, they live in a household, they may be a projector, manifestor, reflector, and they live in a household with all generator types. It's really common because generators make up 70% of the population. So they live in a household with generator types and they're just always being conditioned. They come into a coaching call with me and they're being conditioned by my sacral center. So I have to encourage them to take time away from generators so that they can come back to who they really are and see how they really feel. It's important for people with an undefined sacral to lie down before they're tired. So remember, with a sacral that's not defined, you do tend to need more rest. You tend to need more rest than those with a defined sacral. And it doesn't mean that you're here to be tired all the time, but it means that you need to give yourself permission to rest. You need to give yourself permission to take time away from that sacral energy so that you can unwind. And what you're going to do in order to sleep, and what Colby is going to do in order to sleep as he gets older, is to take that quiet time before bed. Take it half an hour before bed, lie down, read a book, do something, you know, meditate, listen to subliminal messaging, you know, some sort of something that allows you just to come back to yourself as you allow the sacral energy to dissipate so that you can go to sleep and have a restful sleep. For generators and manifesting generators, it's the opposite. We go and go and go and go and go and go and go until we drop. So in this family, for him, he's little one number three. Right now, M has three kids under four. It will be really something as he, you know, starts to toddle around and things, which is still a while away. But it'll be really something to give him his own bedtime routine that's going to be very, very different than that of Brooks and Sawyer. Manifestors are powerful beings, super, super powerful, because they have a defined throat with a motor to the throat, right? You can see the chart in the show notes that he has root center and emotional center energy going right to his throat. So this is a very, very powerful throat center. And remember that the throat center is not only about your voice and what you're here to communicate, but it's also all about taking action in human design. That's where things get started. It energizes the entire design, right? It's getting your design energized to go and do the things. And manifestors are here to initiate. His strategy is to initiate. So the rest of our family lives in response, where he can just go and do the thing. It's really important for manifestors to be able to inform. And this is weird for kids. I get that this is weird for kids. Again, I'll go back to that Jordan Peterson quote that we need to be teaching kids or allowing kids to do dangerous things carefully while we are there to supervise, while we are there to pick up the pieces. They are going to be running the world. They need to know how to do things. They need to do things that are dangerous and do them carefully. A lot of times when I work with manifestors, I work mostly with women. And when I work with manifestors, they have been so very conditioned away from their power, because it's said that manifestors have a closed and repelling aura. And I've been trying to watch this even just in the last 4 days with Colby. I've been trying to watch this and I'm like, oh, little one, you're not closed and repelling. I hate that languaging. But I think more it's that if you're a manifestor, what I would love, or someone you love as a manifestor, I would love for you to take this away. It's more of a self-sufficiency. It's not necessarily repelling, although Ra would probably strike me dead if he heard me saying that. It's just that you're self-sufficient. You're not someone who needs people to get things done. You can do the things. You can initiate. You're here to be powerful. You're here to get the ball rolling for the rest of us. And lots of times as a manifestor, you were conditioned away from that. And it can be really tricky. I can only imagine how tricky this is going to be as parents and grandparents for Colby to have this child who's meant to inform us. So as a manifestor, it's not ever about asking permission. I mean, can you even imagine raising a child who didn't have to ask permission if we were not conditioning him? It's going to be something that we get to play with and see, like, ooh, how does this actually work? Be very interesting. Another thing about Colby is that he is emotionally defined. So the emotional solar plexus is the triangle, the big triangle on the right-hand side near the bottom of the chart. He's emotionally defined and his emotions come in waves. He has two waves. So he has the tribal wave, the 3955. Great creativity lives in this wave. His mom has this as well. Emily has this as well. Great creativity and deep lows can happen with this wave. A deep melancholy can happen with this wave. And then channel 3536 is interesting because this is Evel Knievel energy. This is a collective wave. This is a wave that's based on expectations. And all of these things present themes in his design. So this Evel Knievel energy of Gates 3536, this channel, it's all about adventure. He's here to have adventures. He's here to experience life fully. He's also a 3-6 profile. Holy 3-6s. If this is your profile, you've been batted around by life a whole lot, because you are someone who makes all the mistakes. And I'm putting that in air quotes because there are no mistakes for a third line profile. And the thing with the sixth line profile is that you have a third line phase. So for Colby, he's got a third line conscious profile. And for the first 30 years of his life, he's got a third line unconscious profile. So he is the ultimate experiential learner. He has to learn everything for himself. He has to touch it and feel it and see how it works. He has this Evel Knievel energy in his design. So he's really here to experience life fully. He has endurance in his design as well. This is a theme for him. Gate 32 is a theme for him with endurance. Another thing that shows up in his design, that shows up in his entire family except for Sawyer, is that he has an undefined G center. So the G center is the center for direction and the center for lovability. He will be someone who is geographically sensitive. So if you have this center undefined, it is the diamond shape that's outlined in yellow in the middle of your chart. If it's defined, it will be colored in. If it's undefined, it will be white. His is white. So he will be, he is geographically sensitive. He will feel in his body when he's in the right place, and he will know when he's not in the right place. And that's going to be really important to him. If this center is undefined for you, you need to know that when the chips are down, you're going to question your lovability. With this center undefined and his will center undefined, he's going to question, he will tend towards questioning his lovability and his worth. But that is our gift as parents and grandparents, as his village. We get to make sure that he doesn't fall prey to questioning his value and his worth, that he stands in his gifts, that he understands who he is right from the very beginning. That is the beauty of knowing your human design. One thing that we haven't talked about in any of the episodes, but I just want to touch on it just super briefly here, is that Colby has an external markets environment. He has a markets environment. And this is something that shows up actually for a lot of us. I think both of the girls, I don't have their charts in front of me right now, but I think both of the girls have it. I have it. Sawyer has it. And now Colby has it. Maybe others do too, but I just know with us, we look at it because the girls and I own a crystal shop together. And it's interesting to see how a markets environment plays out. I know for Sawyer, we've been going out Fridays since she was very, very little. Friday is Mimi Day with Sawyer. And she loves her a good market. Like, it is so fascinating to see her brain work, and she doesn't even have to buy anything. Like, Pete always says when we take her out together, he says, it's weird that she doesn't ask for things. But when she decides she's getting something, she just throws it in the cart. But if she's just out and about, it's like she wants to touch it and feel it. She wants to see the exchange of goods. She wants to see things happening. I'm talking with my hands, realizing you can't see me talking with my hands. But it's this exchange of goods, trading things, seeing what's available, what's out there. It makes her come alive. It's really, really interesting to see. So it'd be interesting to see with Colby. I thought that was cool when I saw that he had that markets environment too. I was like, I can't remember what Brooke's environment is, but he definitely does not have a markets environment and does not love to be out in a market. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for Colby. That's just a little introduction to our latest little miracle man. I'm so blessed to have these babies in my life, all of these children in my life. And I really take it seriously that I am here to do better by the next generation. You know, I feel like every generation does a little bit better. We were just talking about this last night. The girls and Pete and I were talking about, you know, we're Gen X, and in our generation, it was that you were bad. If you did something wrong, you were bad. And then with our kids' generation, it was that the thing that they did was bad. And now it's about, how did that thing that you did make the other person feel? Like, Brooks bit Sawyer the other day, and she's like, you need to tell them that it hurt me. And it's just powerful how all of these little things we get to do differently. We get to do better for every generation that comes along. Human design has been the biggest gift for me in understanding who my grandchildren are here to be and allowing them the freedom to be who they are without conditioning them away from themselves and from the body wisdom that they came here with. And I'm honored to get to do the same for Colby. When you're ready to step into the gifts of your human design, when you're ready to understand your child's design, your partner's design, let's get together in a reading. Let's look at all of the things that make you you so that you can stand unapologetically in your gifts. Because we all know that life continues to kick us around. It never stops. Human design is the best way that you can stay unjaded.